Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
We should do the show outside. We need to get some sort of veranda built or some sort of...
A balcony?
Know, yeah, so we could just sit outside. You know, someplace quiet, a park.
Give me some birds chirping in the background, yeah. Some good show sound.
Which birds? Yeah. How many bird calls do you know?
Oh, no, I'm going to be bad at this.
None.
Okay. A seagull. Ah! I could definitely spot a seagull.
All right, what an answer. You know,
like the easy ones. A crow, maybe.
Ah!
Okay. That's easy.
We've established that you know those calls.
Yeah. The big birds.
You're listening to on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
When you say the big birds there, if only I had thought in the moment to drop one of Big Bird's classic lines. But I don't know if Big Bird has any classic lines.
I don't think he had like a catchphrase.
No, he's always talking to Snuffleupagus. That's really all I remember.
Yeah.
We called Snuffy, right?
Yes.
Snuffleupagus making a cameo on Sesame Street was a big day.
Yeah, because he wasn't on very often, right?
No. Is there a page that shows the number of appearances per character? Because
on Sesame Street?
I just want to say, I feel like Snuffleupagus was a every fourth or fifth show kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like at the beginning of Seinfeld, when Kramer would come in, there'd be cheers because he was like the fourth and not a big three, or I don't know. It felt like that.
Yeah. Snuffleupagus, though, he was friends with Big Bird?
Yeah.
That's okay.
That's pretty much it. He was the connection.
Okay. Gotcha.
Did you look up to see how many times he was on?
Yeah, it's not. It doesn't say.
Okay.
It doesn't say. Someone's not out there tracking that, I guess.
What are we here for? The internet's got a lot of things. You're telling me it can't tell you the number of appearances Snuffleupagus made on Sesame Street?
I think Snuffleupagus had his own things along with Sesame Street. Could that be right?
Got a spinoff?
No. Okay. No,
okay. Never mind. Yeah, I mean, you never know.
No. There was a unaired special called Snuffy's Parents Get a Divorce. That was produced and shot in 1992, but it never aired because tests resulted or revealed several unintended negative effects.
All right.
So there was a special, I guess, that just never made it to air. I mean, the concept they decided to go with.
What a turn we just took there.
Yeah, in 19. Who in the meeting pitched that one? I don't know.
I mean, that was back in the day when you'd have very special episodes of shows to teach kids important messages.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's right.
Important things.
Yep.
Also, apparently, I'm seeing on Wikipedia, he was Mr. Snuffleupagus. So presumably he had a first name. He did. His first name was Aloysius. Okay. See?
What?
There you go. Aloysius Snuffleupagus.
Put a poll up. Did you know Snuffleupagus, his first name was Aloysius?
Now that I see that, I feel like I did know that. That he was constantly referred to as Mr. Snuffleupagus. All right.
His friends called him AS. I don't know. I've never heard of that.
So the first thing I found is that there was a running gag of him not being visible to the adults ended with season 17. Like only kids could see him and adults couldn't. I don't know. And adults didn't believe in him.
Did you know he had a younger sister named Alice?
That I did not know.
Alice Snuffleupagus. It's a whole family. A
lot going on.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. It's Jeremy and Joe. And the whole gang's back together. Josh is back from his vacation. Owen's here. We're all back. First time in a month? Almost.
Like since the NFL draft.
It's a while.
At least.
It's a while. The whole gang's here.
Yeah. Florida was nice.
You two went to Florida. I went to Boston.
I got the inverse of what Joe got for Florida. I left and it got nice here and it rained in Florida. Mm-hmm. And then I came back and it's going to rain this week. So I must be the rain curse.
And it was pretty nice during the week you were gone. Pretty nice.
Yeah, I had my mom sending me pictures saying like, oh, it's like 90 here. How is it down there? And I was like, yeah, it's 82 and raining. So it's like warm, but
it
was still raining.
You didn't get washed out though, right?
No. Yeah. We still had like most of our days were fine. But there was one day where it thundered so loud that the glasses in our cabinets in the house we stayed at shook.
Yep.
Like it was a little, we were looking Florida, like, is there a hurricane coming or something?
That's
like,
a Florida thunderstorm for you.
Yeah, it was wild. But it was a good time. Got a lot of sun.
Well, welcome back. Whole gang's here. What would you miss? What happened while you were gone?
Jarmo Kekalainen.
Yeah, okay.
can't possibly be the biggest thing that happened. I mean, it might have.
Big things happen when Josh goes on vacation.
They hired a senior advisor.
Jarmo Kekalainen.
Scored a beat. That's pretty much all that happened.
There were a couple little dribbles of Sabres things that happened over the weekend. Elliot Friedman's 32 Thoughts podcast had Paterka mentioned again.
Uh-huh.
And even went so far as to say the Sabres, like, watch the Sabres. They're going to do something big. And that's something he kind of indicated he continues to hear. So
what are the odds they're going to do something big enough, though, that it's going to get everybody
in the league talking?
Yeah, in the league. Not just like, I don't feel like their bar to get Sabre fans or a good amount of Sabre fans going, all right, let's go, like something to live for a little bit here going into the year. I don't feel like that bar is that hard to clear. The league being like, oh, look, the Sabres did something. I mean, they haven't done that since the Sabres, what, signed Kyle Okposo in free agency?
Otherwise, it's, trades.
Right.
Like getting rid of guys.
Right, exactly. But like the Sabres getting somebody where the league goes, oh, look, the Buffalo over there. That could be something now.
The quote from Friedman on his 32 Thoughts podcast, quote, I just get people who keep saying to me, you got to watch the Sabres because they know that their core guys want to win. They know exactly how their core players feel.
Hmm.
All right. Their core guys want to win, which has always been true. Like that's a thing that's never been different.
Yeah,
core guys always want to win, and who knows? Maybe they feel it a little bit more. So,
well, maybe the captain has told them that directly now.
Yeah, that okay.
That could be a little bit different.
A little context, right?
You can believe all you want and should assume that the guys in that locker room want to win, but I do bet it's different if you are a GM. If this has happened, it can be different from assuming those guys want to win to the captain comes and tells you to your face that, like, what are we doing here? Yeah. Time to get going. Time to win.
And that meeting with Darlene and Kevin Adams happened right before /during/around the Cousins trade, right? It was pretty much that was the context for it. So Cousins for Josh Norris, who
you forget is a Saber.
Yes. Yes. Josh, I'm excited to meet him whenever that happens.
Do you remember what number he wears?
13?
Yes.
Okay, 13.
What do you play? 90% sure. I just want to double check. Yeah, he wears 13.
Okay.
Yeah.
The old Tim Kennedy number, the old
Yuri Novotny. Yep.
Jimmy Vesey.
Oh, yep.
Okay.
3 games. He scored. I don't remember it. What did it look like?
No idea.
Was it nice?
Do not remember.
I don't know either. But he did play.
Well, we'll see if they can do something. It's probably 2 weeks away because, the cup final has to end. There's usually an agreement in the NHL that nothing is done to upstage the cup final. And here, according to Friedman, the Sabres are going to do something big. They want to, keep your eye on the Sabres. They want to do something. So the Sabres definitely don't want to upstage this Stanley Cup final. Could they possibly?
They could do something that I think gets the league on alert, but unless they, what could they do? They could trade for Mitch Marner's negotiating rights. That would probably
they'd probably be mocked around the league.
Yeah, they would draw a lot of attention though. That would be something I bet they wouldn't want to steal attention from the finals with.
Trade for Pettersson and Robertson and Marner's rights.
Yes, all three. All within a couple days of each other. All during the finals?
Yes.
Why not?
Get some attention.
Go do it. Go be, I mean, that's going to cost a lot, maybe more than they...
Be Vegas?
More than they have.
Be Vegas.
Yeah.
Be Vegas without the Vegas.
Which, I don't know if you can be Vegas without the Vegas.
You probably can't be Vegas without the winning and the consistent excellence.
Uh-huh.
But that's what Vegas does. Vegas says... Let's just go get players.
Right. There's a good player available. Tomas Hertl is available. They didn't even need him 2 years ago, and he was just a free, like, why not? Good player. Shouldn't we want that? We don't need him. Whatever. Let's go get him.
Yeah.
And then they got him. And then they did the same thing with Hanifin, and they've done the same thing with, like, every player.
Didn't they trade a first, a second, and a third for Tomas Tatar?
Oh, yeah. They did.
First, second, and a third. Just, like, get out of bed and trade some picks.
Yeah.
Vegas has been the guy in your fantasy league that never stops trading.
Who hasn't made a first-round pick since your entire league's history?
Yes, he's in the playoffs basically every single year, and he doesn't come to your drafts because he doesn't have to.
Yeah.
That's been Vegas.
Vegas does not have a first-round pick this year. They do not have a first-round pick next year. For now, they have one in 2027, though.
Okay.
Keep it. I mean, the odds that lasts all the way to draft day 2 years from now are pretty slim, I would think.
Vegas, they're like an NBA team. In the NBA, you can trade your first-round picks for a half a decade and not even blink.
Yeah. Yeah.
No?
And the Rams did that in the NFL.
That's right. The Rams went 7 years without a first-round pick?
I think eight.
Eight. All right.
They went a really long time.
And the Sabres, in that span of time, probably had like 12 first-round picks because they doubled up and even tripled up 1 year.
They did. Except unless you go back 10 years and they had – well, no, they still make the Eichel pick. They traded their first when they had a few of them.
They had three the Eichel year, and they traded two of the three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that might be the last time that they've really done that.
Traded them away?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, go trade your first now, and that'll be whatever you get back from that. I'm sure we'll, you know, that's the type of trade that normally I think would wait to the end of the finals. Whoever you're getting, if you're trading something that includes your first round pick, and in the Sabres case, a top 10 pick, probably the type of trade that I wouldn't expect until after. At most, I think you're getting like a minor deal right now, and that doesn't excite me.
Well, anyway, I'm not so sure how many people are front of mind Sabres on June 9th, but that's Elliot Friedman giving the latest.
Not until at least an end of the month is the NHL draft. I mean, the week of, you know, start kicking it up into gear if there's Paterka rumors still. I mean, Byram will get traded eventually. I think Byram is going to get traded. That could happen at any point after the finals are over. So that's the other thing you'll be on alert for.
On Paterka, Friedman said the Paterka talk has been out there, although, again, Buffalo has indicated that's not something they are really crazy about doing. That doesn't mean they're not going to do it, but they're not crazy about doing it. That's just, you know, whatever. But the Paterka talk is out there. Here's a potential match, if you want to match. Keandre Miller with the Rangers, they're going to move on from him.
Yeah.
And isn't that exactly what the Sabres probably need, is him? A guy just like him?
Yep. Big defenseman, young. He's probably the Owen Power partner you're dreaming of.
Yeah. So
probably
Byram for that guy. Is Byram happy in New York? Does he get his number one role there?
Well, they have Adam Fox.
That's right. Maybe they get close enough.
Yeah.
But
he gets to be their number two at the least, I would think, to start. So.
Yeah, but the Rangers are going to move on from him, it would seem, and that could be a match made easily. There's been plenty of reporting about the Sabres and the Rangers. Paterka was reportedly the Rangers back when that happened on the deadline, which, of course, it didn't ultimately happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, keep an eye on it. In the meantime, Game 3 tonight in the Cup Final with Edmonton and Florida. It's been an unbelievable series.
It's been awesome.
It's been so good.
It's been very close, too. Did I see numbers that, like, is it the shots or the shot attempts are, like, dead even through two games between these two teams? And you've got three overtimes combined between the two games.
Yep.
At this point, you're getting goals also. I mean, how many goals did they score in the first 10 minutes of Game 3?
Yeah.
I was like 5 minutes game late two to the game, and it was already 2-2. So, right, Game 2. You're getting a ton of scoring. You're getting a ton of offense. And is that Edmonton dragging Florida into a series like that? I mean, Florida's – the thing about them that is always interesting is that they get so much credit for – lockdown, you know, rough and tumble style and being able to smother you defensively. And when you've got to go toe-to-toe scoring goals, they're just as capable of doing it that way. And they often will do it that way. So this game was a testament to that. 5-4
Yeah.
In overtime. I mean, Marshawn scoring doesn't feel great.
Well, I mean, it's a pretty sweet goal for him. Pretty sweet moment for him.
Uh-huh.
What a deadline acquisition for them. I mean, going out, going big, and getting a playoff star, playoff stud,
yep.
Try and get their second cup in a row, third straight appearance. You know, is it Edmonton dragging Florida into that game, or is that McDavid dragging them into it? He had 3 assists.
He did.
Edmonton scored 4 goals. He had 3 assists.
Yep, he had 3 assists.
In the previous game, they scored 4 goals. Was he in on 3 of them? What's their on and off the ice stat number right now with Connor McDavid? Because it's McDavid and Draisaitl dominating when they're on the ice together. McDavid, of course, looking like the best player ever. His assist the other night on that goal, I mean, you know, the highlights that he has given us as a player are unbelievable. Mm. When he just dangles through a bunch of people. I saw a video maybe earlier in the weekend. It was someone watching McDavid highlights for the first time.
Uh-huh.
And it was about maybe 3 minutes, 6 separate goals that he scored.
Was it an Australian guy? There's a guy on YouTube. It's like from Australia. It's like, it's my first time watching.
Messi.
Having never watched football, I'm going to watch
Leo Messi.
Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Leo Messi.
Maybe. But the guy's reaction was just a series of, this guy plays every night? Why isn't he on my television everywhere I go? And the assist he had the other night, holy cow, just playing on another level, the kind of place where you see him move the puck as he moves, which is insane to begin with,
mm-hmm.
And you can almost see guys that are trying to defend him, their brains fall out of their head, like what do I do? I'm in slow motion trying to catch this guy,
yeah,
and then he's gonna just stop on a dime and drag it right through me and feed a wide open guy in the. It's incredible.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just McDavid that's dragging them in.
Yeah, they've scored 8 goals in 2 games, and McDavid's been on the ice for 6 of them.
All right.
So there you go, including power play, but still, whatever. In fact, 4 of them, I believe, are on the power play.
All right.
But whatever, their power play is part of what makes them an awesome team.
Yes.
They've had one of the most lethal power plays for 3-4 years in the NHL. And the value of that is pretty significant, I think, and you don't get it as much in the playoffs because of the calls, but you are getting some calls in these finals. Like, they're getting there enough to score 4 power play goals in 2 games. So he's putting on a show.
Yeah.
He's putting on a show.
He's not scoring.
No.
He's passing.
He's number 1 all time. I saw. I think he's 1.44 assists per game in the finals, which minimum of 7 games is the most in NHL history, and it's like half an assist more per game than Gretzky.
Jeez.
So like, we'll see. Gretzky played a ton more finals games at this point, but for right now, he's getting an assist and a half
per game
that he's played in the finals, and that's through 9 finals games.
Yeah.
So. He doesn't score. He, though, really is the one guy that I would say watching hockey in my life, more than Crosby, Ovechkin, all those guys, where, like, I'd want to see that video of the guy watching McDavid for the first time. I think you see, it's so much easier to see him stand out as, oh, that guy's the best at this. And it's clear, where you can watch a game against the Pittsburgh Penguins over the last 15 years, and you might not notice Sidney Crosby. Not a lot of games, but you might not notice him, right? McDavid, I feel like it's impossible. Every time he's on the ice, is that just the speed, though? The speed is just undeniable that you see it every time he's out there.
Yeah, because...
Like, oh, that dude moves different than everybody else around
him. And there's not much of that going on in really any other sport where someone is so much faster than everybody else.
Right. It was like maybe Tyreek Hill in his prime.
Yeah.
You could say that about. But that was kind of the same thing. Like, you would see it. You knew, oh, that dude's the fastest guy out there. And then put on top of that, that McDavid's the most valuable player in the sport. He stick handles at that same speed. He processes the game at that same speed. I hope he gets to the finals every year. Honestly, just put him on this big showcase every single season.
803-0550 is our number if you want to chime in, if you've got a thought on you know, anything we dropped there about the Sabres and what Elliot Friedman is reporting, or a thought on this Cup Final, which is tied at one game apiece, something that did not happen in last year's Cup Final until it was 3-3, right? Remember Edmonton was down three games and then won three games and lost in Game 7 2-1. So this series has been great. And, man, if you're Edmonton, it's going to feel heartbreaking to lose it because, I don't know, you're better this year, so is Florida maybe. It's been an awesome series, and looking forward to Game 3 tonight. The Bills have mandatory minicamp tomorrow, and that's when we find out about James Cook, which we'll probably dig into plenty today. The reporting from Adam Schefter, maybe you've seen something out there before this. This is the first dose of this I've gotten, because every step of the way along the way, it's been Cook will be there, Cook will play this year, everything's, you know, he'll play it, he'll prove it. And here's Schefter on his podcast saying James Cook's not showing up. Yeah. He said that the two sides are very far apart, which that's not a surprise, but that James Cook is just, he's not going to show up. So prepare yourself, I suppose. Now, I did learn about something, and I'll have to run this by everybody, and run this by you, but there's a former agent who pointed out that if you miss training camp, it changes the way your contract tolls, which even if you play games, and I'll get it for you here because it's why Jonathan Taylor, even when he was holding out, went to training camp.
The hold in?
Yeah.
Which is which happened a lot. Jamar Chase did that last year, right? Jamar Chase did that through all of training camp, didn't he?
Yep.
For the Bengals? Or most of it.
His name is Joel Corey, who tweeted this yesterday. I saw Greg Thompson of Cover One linking this and pointing to this, that under one article of the CBA, a player under contract doesn't get an accrued season with a failure to report to training camp on time. Six games on the 53-man roster, IR pup, doesn't matter when this happens, that you have to show up for training camp on time or you don't get an accrued season. I don't know if that's in this version of the CBA and that wasn't there for, you know, last 15 years or whatever, how many times it's been tested. But Jonathan Taylor did go to camp and hold in. And that's why hold-ins happen. Hey, I'm here. Oh, my hamstring hurts. Right? Wasn't that the case with Taylor? He claimed to have a foot injury.
Yeah.
You just go and you say you have a nagging foot injury and then you don't practice.
Yeah.
But Schefter's comment is that they're far away, that he's been disconnected from the team and the city. So that's a little bit more than just not showing up to OTAs. That's he's disconnected from the team and the city and obviously wants a contract. And Schefter's picture paints a different picture than we've heard at any point to this point. I keep referencing Albert Breer and others saying Cook will be there, he'll be there, and here's Schefter. He's not coming. He's not coming.
If he is present at camp, skips mini camp, is at camp, and wants to do or tries to execute something similar to what Taylor did, I'm very curious how the Bills will operate within that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's there, but he's either, I don't want to say he would be making up an injury, but he would however he would have to get it so that he's not actually practicing. And how McDermott would handle that, how the rest of the Bills would handle that, right? Because that would be a very strange and unique thing for them. They've not really gone through anything near that. If he were to take it to that level where he didn't show up to minicamp and then he's there at training camp but he has zero intention of doing anything. Like could they I don't know how that would really go for them. I don't know how they would want to react to that. Because man, if Schefter is saying they're really far apart, I don't know. Do we think the Bills are gonna be coming way up on what they would be willing to give James Cook? Like, to me, this is all just a question of how far does James Cook want to take this? Because I can't really see much of a scenario where he's getting a long-term extension before the season.
First question.
Like, I think he's either playing on the final year of his deal or he's making it so ugly that, that he's sitting out the year. I don't think that's happening.
Well, one of the first questions, and this might be an opinion question because we kind of can't know, what's far apart? If he says 15, what's far from 15? Is 10 far? I mean, $5 million seems like it's pretty far apart.
I don't know that I'd want to guess that it's anything less than that.
Okay.
Like, if you say 15 and you say 11, I guess you still could, but would you be emphasizing that, oh, they're really far apart if it's $4 million?
Right. Well, $4 million out of 15 is, you know, that's almost 33%. It's almost a third low on the value.
Yeah.
But
where is Schefter getting that? I mean, Schefter is probably talking to an agent, and really the only thing that matters here is, does James Cook believe that they're far apart? Because that's whose opinion is going to matter in the actions that we're about to see.
Yeah.
If he thinks they're close, like close enough, if he thought 13 million or 12 million, like, oh, you know, 3-4 million, like, it's pretty close, I could see us getting a deal done, then maybe he's more likely to show up. But if he's like, man, they're only willing to give me 10, 5 million, that's far, that like they have no intention of signing me.
It's also possible that the Bills could be at 10, and that's far apart. And Cook maintains a hard line 15 right up until the day before camp in hopes that they come to 11. And then he says, yes, yes, deal. Right? You're just going as hard line as you can. The fines he will incur in the next couple days if he misses mandatory minicamp, it's about $100,000. And again, those can be waived. So it's not exactly scorched earth timelines yet, but I wonder what kind of scorched earth timelines we should consider now.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If Cook is going to take this as far as he can. 803-0550. There's the latest from Adam Schefter on James Cook. We'll continue to dig into it. We'll talk about it with Sal coming up at 7 o'clock. The Bills have mandatory minicamp this week. Matt Parrino at 8:30. Get his thought on Cook. And also the review of Patchy Mix's UFC debut, which I did stay up and watch and did not go well for the Angola native. Of course, you know, UFC, you can lose and bounce back. And Patchy Mix will, of course, look to do that. We'll get Matt Parrino's thoughts on that along with his James Cook take coming up at 8:30. If you watch that fight, you want to give a thought, you can give us a ring, too. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
But I don't think we'll be seeing him at Buffalo anytime soon. And again, the start of training camp will be the next critical moment. If they don't have a deal done there by then, does James Cook show up for training camp? Does he risk the penalties that come along in the collective bargaining agreement if he doesn't show up? But look, we've seen the Philadelphia Eagles this offseason reward Saquon Barkley. We've seen the Baltimore Ravens reward Derrick Henry. We have not seen the Buffalo Bills pay James Cook yet.
Adam Schefter from his podcast. A couple things he said in there in addition to that. He's basically disconnected himself from the organization and the city, put his house up for sale. I don't think we'll be seeing him in Buffalo anytime soon. So that's that.
Do we think we will see any report at some point in the next month? Sources, James Cook has asked for a trade.
That is a proper step here that is not always necessary. I found in looking to see how Jonathan Taylor's situation played out, he asked for a trade.
Mm-hmm. And often, guys ask for a trade as part of a negotiation. How many times can you think of blank ask for a trade? You don't even want to believe it anymore. Like, what's the point of talking about a guy getting traded? Because how many people can you name that have asked for a trade that didn't get traded? This offseason, Myles Garrett.
Yep.
Myles Garrett took it to a level where he wrote a letter saying, like, I'm done.
He did.
And then 2 weeks later, he signed.
Both Debo and Ayuk in San Francisco asked for trades.
Yes, that's right. Trey Hendrickson asked for a trade a year and a half ago.
Yep.
I mean, he might.
T. Higgins.
He might get Delby. Still hasn't.
T. Higgins asked for a trade.
T. Higgins. You mentioned the Jonathan Taylor one. So,
yep.
You know, it's like 90%, 80% of these ask for a trades don't end up in resulting in trades. So I'm almost wondering that about Cook. Like, Cook might still want the deal from the Bills to stay in Buffalo. And one maneuver you could take if, like, you can't get them back to the bargaining table and you are maybe you're $5 million apart and you're trying to get it to like 13 or 14 million and just neither side will really budge. Like, what do you do? You could do that. That would ramp it up a little bit. It would make it a little bit uglier, but as you're seeing in all these other situations, you ask for a trade, you sign back a month later. If James Cook signs for $12 million a year, I don't necessarily think that'll happen, but if he signed for $12 million a year a month after asking for a trade, nobody's gonna care.
Yep.
At least I don't think people are gonna care. I don't think fans will care. I don't think the Bills, I'm certain, wouldn't care. There's also Hard Knocks.
There's Hard Knocks,
all
right.
That laying out on Hard Knocks, you know. Not to say that would drive their negotiation, but they could want to get it done before that. I don't know. Just I'm already mentally bracing for a day where that's happened and still believing that it's not at a critical mass yet, the whole situation.
803-0550, Jeremy and Joe. So, you know, the asking for trade things, like, I like to point that out every once in a while, because when a team moves on from a player, like, well, he asked for a trade. Well, lots of players do.
Yep.
I don't know if it's 50-50 if a guy does get moved. And again, like you said, Cook has not done that. Is that the next escalation? I mean, he could also show up tomorrow, and Schefter could be wrong about all this, but Schefter reporting that he won't be there tomorrow, and he won't be for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
There's 6 weeks, 7 weeks till training camp. So he's got that time. And then once he gets there and holds in,
mm-hmm.
You know, when he holds in, does HBO talk to him? He's there. We'd like to talk to James Cook. Does that happen? It could. Because Cook
could.
Listen,
the HBO would want to do it. If I were the producer, that'd be the first thing I'd want to go do when I got there.
It's important to note that the players are not mad at Cook. And you said, what will the Bills do? What kind of hardball could they play? You know, if they're fining him, if he holds in,
mm-hmm.
Are they suspending him? Because holding in, Joe, it's kind of this somewhat new thing. It's a couple of years players have been doing
like
this.
Yeah, like the last 3 years,
okay,
mostly.
And when a player does that, they can be around and they're not working out, but are they going to meetings? I guess each guy would do his own thing. Here, I've reported, but I'm pretending I'm hurt. I've got a hamstring issue. I've got this or that. And there's a reason to sit out. If you go farther as the team to punish this player, my guess is that goes over poorly with his teammates. And listen, we know it's business. We're all playing business here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, however, want you to act like it's a bigger problem than it is. Don't go the next step in escalating it further. And Cook, you know, if Hard Knocks comes in and they want to talk to him, my guess is Cook doesn't want to trash the organization. We do have to consider it as a possibility that he doesn't want to sign here long term. It has to be considered. So maybe Joe Marino's the first one that brought this up to me of the Locked On Bills podcast. He'd basically be saying, listen, what if Cook is putting that number out there so he doesn't get signed because he does want to go elsewhere? You have to consider it as a possibility. He is in a really nice offense.
I was say, why would he really want that?
Because though? He wants to play in warm weather. I mean, really, it could be anything.
Sure, right.
Yeah. I mean, we always just tend to go to that. I don't necessarily think we have to believe it is true, but I thought it was worth mentioning, and I think Joe pointing that out was right, to say, consider it as a possibility. But, you know, for Cook here, if he comes into town, he wants his contract, he says 15. If they said 12, he might say yes. So knowing that the two sides are not close, according to Schefter, but not knowing what not close is numerically, you'd have to think that Cook is not out to burn bridges,
mm-hmm.
but rather to build bridges. And, all right, I'll be there. I'll be a good teammate. If Hard Knocks wants to talk to me, I mean, I'm not going to say bad things. I just don't know what his play is. It seems that most Bills fans are comfortable with not paying him big money. I don't think they should come close to $15 million. I don't know if he would come down to 10. 10 seems about right for where running backs are and who he is. That would be totally acceptable with the cap going to where it's going and continuing to go. But I just don't know if he'd be willing to come down to 10. He this year is making $5 million, which is about a five-fold increase from what he made the year before. And if they bumped him to 10, hey, here's 2 years, $20 million. And you know what we'll do? We'll throw 13 of it in year one as a signing bonus. Mm-hmm. Now you got 13 for year one. Are you happy? You want 15 a year. You got 13. And some security, and here we go. We're off with a contract extension. So it's always tough to kind of figure out exactly what the number could be. But
well, and how long-term it is, because is a two-year deal going to be enticing to him? If I were him, I'm a running back. I want to get the longest term that I feel like I can get. His brother got a five-year deal. Now it's probably a five-year deal that ended up being more like a three-year deal, probably, right? Like, that's generally how those things go. But, you know, like, two-year deal means you're walking yourself up to an age where those, you're definitely not getting a big contract at that point. Guys do not, at 28 years old, unless you're Derrick Henry, you know, like, you're probably not getting a big long-term extension. Like, I would think he is looking for the, you're a running back, your brother was done in the league by the time he was 29. Like, I want that one big contract. So a two-year deal feels like,
well, the question
feels
is,
like something the Bills could have on the table right now, and he goes, I wonder how much of it is about the salary and how much is it about the term.
He might want what his brother got. He's not the same back as his brother. His brother was much more of a feature back, was he not?
His brother was more of a feature back, but his brother also signed when the cap was probably, what, $80 million lower?
And he got $63 million over 5 years.
Okay.
He got big money. In the chat, there's a little
big money.
In the chat, there's a little bit of, you know, his brother is a cautionary tale. Not the case. He got $63 million over 5 years from the Vikings and had 3 1,000-yard seasons after that deal. So if you're James Cook, Dalvin is the model. You might not get his money, but that's what you want to do. Have a couple good seasons, get some security, have some more good seasons. And then, of course, he flamed out pretty quickly because he didn't see year four of that contract in Minnesota.
Right.
But he got paid. Guaranteed at sign, again, like 5 years, $63 million. His guaranteed at sign was 16. And his total guaranteed was 28. So, again, if you give him 3 years, 30, 3 years, 45, put the number on it.
Mm-hmm.
And its actual guarantees over those 3 years are $24 million. Who wins? Does James Cook get to say he wins because he got 3 years for 45?
Right.
That was 15.
Uh-huh.
This is the funny thing about NFL contracts. Does James Cook mean the fake 15? That you report, or an actual 15
right,
that 3 days later we find out you get? John in Detroit. Hey, John, good morning.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I love the show. I just wanted to make a point that, you know, I love James Cook. He's a talented back, but I love this Bills offensive line. With Frank Ragnow retiring in Detroit, Lane Johnson for the Eagles being 35 or 36, and Becton leaving, I think going into this season, this is the best offensive line in the NFL. And on FanDuel, they're co-favorites now to win the Super Bowl, and I think a big part of that is the offensive line. And if signing Cook to $15 million a year or more, you know, who knows what he's really asking for, prevents us from re-signing Osiris Torrance, who I saw mauling Travis Jones for the Ravens. I love Osiris Torrance. Spencer Brown, I think, is the best run-blocking right tackle in the NFL. Alec Anderson, who could emerge this year, who I think could be a star one day. This backup offensive line, I think, might be even better than a couple starting offensive lines in NFL. It is an awesome group. And I want to re-sign and keep that talent in the trenches, especially as Allen starts to age into his 30s. And I'll just hang up and listen on what you guys think about that.
Yeah, thanks, John. It's very possible, and it would make a lot of sense, if both Connor McGovern and Osiris Torrance rank for the Bills ahead of Cook. Would make tons of sense.
Mm-hmm.
McGovern's been great for them. Torrance is a draft pick that they got to be pretty happy with. He's coming in, pretty much played right away and been pretty good. So, yeah, it would make sense. In terms of that $15 million cap, like, the Bills could have all of those pieces if they wanted to keep all of them. You know, it requires cap gymnastics. You sign Cook and drop his cap number to 5. You sign McGovern, same thing, like a big extension, and the number is a lot lower.
Because McGovern's cap hit this year is 4.9.
No, it's pretty low, right?
Pretty low. It was 2 last year.
Okay. Well, if you extend
him a year or two, you could get that number in half, probably.
Yeah.
And, like, right, like, I haven't even thought about him for a second for this. And should he rank above Cook? Cook is making it so that he's almost thrusting himself above everybody else that could be remaining. Like, hey, you didn't want to sign me before Shakir. You didn't want to sign me before Benford and Bernard and Rousseau and all these guys. But you better be doing it before McGovern and Torrance, who's 2 years away, by the way, still.
Yep.
Even though I don't know that I would be so fast to do that. I mean, it doesn't have to be one or the other, right? Like,
it doesn't have to
be. You have money to do more than one thing. Now, you could use that money elsewhere, receiver and some other position on defense down the road. But if it was one versus the other, I would tell you I'd rather lock up my interior offensive line. Then lock up James Cook.
803-0550 to join us. Thanks, John, for the phone call and the kind words. You can give us a ring if you want. When we get back, it had to happen, right? We all knew it. It had to happen, and it did in Dallas.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What was your reaction when he pulled out injured?
Yeah, I'm glad that's brought up. I got no problem with the pull. If you're coaching, we just let two goals in, you got to change momentum. So to change the goalie, I got no problem with that.
Did you have an issue with his comments after the game and even the day after?
I think everybody did. I think even Pete, a little bit remorseful of it, a little bit. So I don't think he handled that the way he wanted to. You got to remember, you're under duress, the pressure of everything going on. To talk about these guys being wired, he's got a lot of pride. But it was just the piling on that he wasn't comfortable with, which I can't blame him.
Jim Nill, the Stars, on Peter DeBoer getting fired by the Dallas Stars. I feel like as a GM, you have to say, I have no problem with the pull because you don't want to feel like you're coaching the team as the GM.
Mm-hmm.
So you say, oh, the coach can coach. What about what he said afterwards? Like, yeah, that's what got him fired. Like, you can't. What are you doing?
You can't do that.
Peter DeBoer, meltdown of meltdowns, of course, back in the Western Conference Final after pulling Jake Oettinger and then afterwards saying he's lost 6 of 7 to that team.
Mm-hmm.
And, just, I mean, turned that series into a mess by what he did there. So Peter DeBoer fired. And the funniest idea I saw was that the Leafs should hire him. Because the Leafs are so bad in Game 7 and Peter DeBoer is the Game 7 king.
Yes, he is.
Unbeaten in Game 7s.
Well, at the moment, there's no vacancies anywhere in the NHL except for Dallas. So, if he wants to coach this year, somebody's going to have to fire their guy. Right?
Yeah.
Fire your guy for Pete DeBoer. I don't think he's unhirable or anything after
Oettinger
thing.
He just had to go in Dallas. Like, you can't be the coach.
Yeah. He also, doesn't this happen in the NHL a lot where some team's going to get off to a bad first 2 weeks and then they'll fire their coach after 10 games and then DeBoer will step in and, like, in the middle of a season become a coach?
Yep. Makes sense.
I did see a couple of people like, oh, shouldn't we do that here? Like, no. Well, they won't do that.
They definitely won't do that. That's right. 803-0550. Sal checks in. We'll get his take on the latest from Adam Schefter on the James Cook saga, which appears to be maybe taking a turn this week. Schefter reporting that Cook will not be in Buffalo anytime soon. Mandatory minicamp starts tomorrow. So Sal coming up after the break. We'll get his thoughts on it and yours as well. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us here on WGR.
Sp- Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.